So one of the, Tim does plan a lot, and I get to be the beneficiary. That's the great thing of working with Tim. He does all the work, and I get to hang out. When one of the stories he didn't tell that I think his wife told me about his spontaneity or efforts at spontaneity was he planned an outing to, I don't know, somewhere to eat or something like that. But honey, I'm going to be spontaneous. I didn't look up directions. We're just going to go for it. And he got miserably lost. It was a tough start to the day. But, you know, I get to benefit from the planning. So I'm okay with it. I don't need to be surprised. Again, the theme for this youth retreat has been looking at the Holy Spirit. I've been blessed by it. I hope that the youth that have been participating have been blessed by it. Of course, it's something that is integral and always a part of what we talk about and focus on here at camp, that the Holy Spirit would come and do His work in the staff, in the kids, certainly. And certainly that's our prayer. And the song that the staff would like to sing today is number 75. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to ask the staff to stand over here by the organ. But if you could turn there, I just want to talk about this song quickly, just point out a couple things. I know that for me personally, sometimes when I'm singing the songs, sorry, in the white book, yes, thank you. I did it last night too. Sometimes I just sing the words and I don't pay attention to the words, particularly songs that I know. I just sing them and you know, it doesn't really impact me the way that it should. So I at least wanted to point out some of the a few of the verses here. This is one of my favorite songs. I identify with it. When I sing it, I often try to sing it as a prayer, and the staff, I encourage you to sing it as a prayer and pray it with us as we sing. But the first verse, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. That's the beginning. Wean it from earth, through all its pulses move. Brother Stephen talked about that in his workshop yesterday. Giving up our plans, our goals, our dreams. And what are his plans? What are his goals? What are his dreams for my life? And ultimately, that's the better way. It's the better way for us. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. You know, it's interesting. George Crowley, I looked it up, and he was actually a renowned minister in England, and he had a following of thousands, you know, as successful a minister as perhaps he could hope to be. And yet here he is writing this song, Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art. Wow, George, if you're weak, you know, what am I? But yet, isn't it the case that many of the people that I trust most spiritually that I've encountered in my life own their weakness? They are the ones who would say first, over most others, that I need Jesus. I need him. I'm weak. Who is sufficient for these things? Because I'm certainly not. And Paul even admitted that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. For, I guess, as you know, Tim also mentioned, the Holy Spirit is for our age. Some of you I know looking at him like, dude, I'm not your age. but he's the Holy Spirit is for all of our ages. You know, he's for 30s and 15 and 50 and 60. He's for all of our ages. But when I was 15, 16, 17, your age. I'm not your age now. But when I was your age, you know, I felt like I had to be strong. I felt like I had to at least demonstrate that I was strong in the Lord, because that's just the mentality that I had, that, you know, we have to appear strong. But the fact is that Paul admitted his weakness. He owned his weakness, and rather he said, I will boast in my weakness, because that's when God's strength, his strength, is made perfect. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. Do I love him as I should? I love him, but help me to love you more. That's the prayer that I see here. That's the prayer that he prays. And so for some time, one of my favorite songs now, a song that previously I was a little bit embarrassed of, because I knew that was me. I knew that I was weaker than I wanted to be, but now I can own it, and it's okay. It's okay. You know, because his strength, it's not about my strength, it's his strength that is made perfect in my weakness. The second verse, I ask no dream, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rending of the veil of clay, no angel visitant, no opening skies. I don't need any of this big stuff. Great. If it happens, great. And it does happen. And it does happen. Miracles still happen today. The Spirit of God still can do these amazing things. Jesus said, you know, when I go, you're going to do even greater things than I did. And boy, did Jesus do some cool stuff. You're going to be doing even greater things. But even beyond that, if none of that happens, just take the dimness of my soul away. That's my prayer. That's my desire above all seeing all these great things. Just take the dimness of my soul away. And I feel that sometimes, you know. And, you know, talking to some of the kids, sometimes I know you pray and, you know, you get down there and you're doing your devotions and that's good. And you don't feel anything. And next day, you don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. It's not about feeling, but you get into your devotions, you're starting to read and you don't want to. And you're just doing it to tick a box. And I know that's the way it is sometimes. God, take the dimness of my soul away. And how does he do that? He does that by sending and allowing the Spirit of God to descend upon our hearts. We talked about a fervency of prayer last night. And how do we pray fervently? How do we pray passionately? It's about the Holy Spirit praying, interceding on our behalf, praying for us. You know, we often talk about, you know, I'm praying for you. You have a need, I'm praying for you. So I'm the one praying. But when the Holy Spirit prays for us, he prays through us. He uses our mouths to pray for us. And the Holy Spirit, may there be a fervency in my prayer. May there be a fervency in my reading of the Word of God. May there be a fervency, a passion about my walk with you. Take the dimness of my soul away. And then the last verse. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame. The baptism of the heaven-descended dove, my heart an altar and thy love the flame, that the love of Jesus, the love of God, would descend, the Spirit of God would descend, fill us. We've been talking about it in the youth retreat. I believe that it is a theme that will continue to go on in the third period, among the staff, certainly among the counselors, you counselors who will be bringing that to the kids. It's for our ages. It's for their age too. What an amazing blessing would be to see a hopeful be filled with the Spirit. Wouldn't that be awesome? And we can believe for that. So, staff, if you can stand over here by the piano, and we'll sing it. We'll just sing it straight through for the ball.
Asked to pray for the staff, so I'm happy to do that. Praise God. Camp, the boys will be coming up, I guess, on Tuesday, and guests will be arriving in these days immediately before us. And we thank God that He has put together the staff for this period. Now let's pray that God will anoint them and equip them for the service that they will render to Him. Lord, we thank You for each and every one. And we thank You for this wonderful prayer that they have sung, Lord. We pray that it will find an abundant answer in their lives. We pray that these precious desires that have been expressed in this song will be implanted in each heart. And Lord, that as they serve You here, that there will be a real desire for the Holy Spirit to fill them and anoint them, make them fruitful in all that they put their hand to. We pray, Lord, that You'll help them to walk with God, to maintain Your presence in their life. And as they minister to others in natural ways and in other ways, we pray that the touch of God will be upon it all, and that people will experience Jesus Christ and His wonderful grace in their lives in these days. We pray that You'll do a wonderful work in our staff, Lord, and through them. Cause there to be a real working together. Let the love of Christ fill every heart. And we pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in their lives and in their service and in their fellowship. And we pray that that river of the Holy Spirit will flow through the camp unhindered, and that each staff member will just be a channel through which you can manifest yourself. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
It's a little odd for me to ask Brother Kenny to do something. We've been really blessed this weekend to have the faith of the ministers that have been up here at camp. Brother Keith has been a great encouragement to me, and he's actually the one that I know the most recently. Great encouragement and somewhat of a mentor to me. Brother Kenny was my youth leader, and we have Brother John Munsinger here in the meeting this morning. He was the Sunday school superintendent while I was in the Sunday school at Ridgewood, and my Sunday school teacher for a long time. And I was wondering if you'd like to say a couple words in greeting to us.
Thank you, Tim. I'm very happy to add my word of welcome to everyone who's here this morning. It certainly rejoices my heart greatly to see so many young people here and to see that they are here for a purpose that is worthy to seeking God, knowing God better, finding out His will for their lives. That rejoices me greatly. I'm a little bit, uncomfortable because there are so many faces here that I'm seeing for the first time, and therefore there are so many people here, so many young people in particular, whose names I don't know. Certainly I know some names here. They've been in our Sunday school, and they've been in our fellowship, and so I know their names. But the fact that I don't know everybody's name, I think, is a good thing. I think it shows that God is at work bringing new people into His kingdom and bringing people into His fold and preparing lives to serve Him and to live for Him. And I think that is a very good thing. I would like to meet everybody and get to know everybody's name. I can't guarantee you that I'd remember it 10 minutes later, but I would certainly try. But it does rejoice my heart to see you and to see the desire you have for Him. It also rejoices my heart to see the leaders that God has given to you. And one of the things that broke the Savior's heart was when He looked out upon the people and saw that they were as sheep that didn't have any shepherds, didn't have those who could lead them. And the leaders that they had were frankly phonies. The Lord called them hypocrites, and He was quite severe in His denunciation of them because they weren't real. But I'm so glad that God has given you real leaders, and I commend them, Isaac, Tim, those that lead the workshops, others who are in positions of leadership. I commend you for following these leaders. I can attest to the fact, as Tim says, I watched him grow up from infancy to manhood and have witnessed God's hand upon his life. And I know that he is real. And it's good to have leaders that are real. I would say to you folks out there, some of you will be leaders in the future. Pay close attention. Be real in all that you do. Be examples. Follow good examples. Pray for your leaders. They work hard at their jobs. I happen to have great respect for people who plan. People who think ahead on what they're going to do and how to get there, and then devote themselves to preparing their hearts by prayer, Bible study, and whatever else it takes. Winging it is not the thing that is most popular with me. So pray for these leaders. Pray that God will continue to use them. God will continue to bless them. God will continue to make them all that He wants them to be. A leader bears a great responsibility to set a good example, to live the life before he or she teaches about that life. So pray for them. And again, thank you for allowing me to just welcome you, and I'll be praying that the rest of your youth conference, and certainly the third period, will be a rich blessing to all of you.
Thank you, Brother John. Let's open to number 89. We'll stand and take our offering. Number 89.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to
you. Let's just, if you don't mind, I know we stood, but let's stand again, just sing that, and really give glory to His name, shall we?
The glory to His name.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
do worship you, O Lord, out of the fullness of our hearts. In spirit and in truth, we want to glorify your name.
Hallelujah.
We're grateful for this salvation. We're grateful, Lord, for this reconciliation. We, Lord God, it's hard to believe there was a time we never knew we could know you in such a way. We're thankful that our sins are covered, that a way has been made that we might come boldly to this throne of grace. How are such things possible? Only through Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the cross and through his wonderful resurrection. Oh God, we thank you this morning. And Lord, we ask your help as we look at the Word, as we consider, oh God, the truth, that it might enter our hearts. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we be seated? I'm excited to see the lodge filled with young people. It's wonderful. Now, I know we don't do this in our fellowship. I don't do this at home. I try to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, but if you don't like it, you don't have to, but can we give the Lord some applause? Amen. Is that okay with you? It's just a natural reaction. When we have some young folks say, I want to sing something, and they'll sing something in church, and it'll be awesome. Some folks can't help but applaud, because it's just the part of the human experience. Like, that was wonderful, and it's all for the glory of God. And I have to do the pastoral thing. Well, they did that for Jesus, and they did, but you can't help it. It's wonderful and it's beautiful that they're excited and they want to do it for Christ. Amen? Amen. So I thought this morning, isn't this wonderful? To look at this lodge filled with young people. And what's the topic? Sports cars? Dating? That, maybe 1 year, right? Maybe? No. But relationship? We could have picked so many topics, but the topic here is the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that heaven's interested and peering down today to say they want the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for our brother Tim and brother Isaac. I've worked with these gentlemen before, and I've had the privilege of speaking at some of the youth retreats. I get things mixed up, and some people would say, oh, so there's a youth retreat. And I say, yes, they've rented during the winter, they rent this camp called Willowbrook. That doesn't go over well with people who remember Willowbrook, but I forget the name of the camp. What was it?
Tuscarora.
Oh, the one before that.
Pinebrook.
So I've learned a little bit, but I'm thankful for the move of the Holy Spirit in these men to take out the time and the effort to go after young people and say, "Come on, let's get away. We'll have some fun, but we'll also seek the Lord." That's a great thing. And I also, as Brother John mentioned, I commend the young people for coming and taking time to say, yes, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord. It's so encouraging.